It is a center for higher learning.
It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadowed halls.
This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos.
Welcome to the Miskatonic University Podcast.
They'll teach you things you can't unlearn.
Hello and welcome to the Miskatonic University Podcast, episode 136. This is the podcast dedicated to Call of Cthulhu and other horror and Lovecraft-related role-playing games. I'm Keeper Dan.
I'm Keeper Chad, and this episode is ripped from the headlines.
I'm Keeper John, and we're going to take some recent headlines, apolitical if possible, and sow them as scenario seeds.
And I'm Keeper Murph. Let's kick off this newsy topic with some new news.
Miskatonic University Campus Crier.
Campus Cars, Miskatonic U student paper. We're just going to go through Mythos-related news and feedback for the podcast. This episode is recorded on December 4th, 2017.
Up first, Sandy Peterson's scenario book is now out available on PDF. It's Peterson's Abominations. There's a link in the show notes. You can get it for $20 over at Chaosium's website.
Yep, and that works as a discount towards the hardback when that comes out later. So, PDF right now, and I love the cover on this thing.
That's cool. I forgot about that.
The cover is awesome.
Cover it looks amazing. And we know this is five epic tales of modern horror. It's I feel like probably somebody just said that. Is that true?
Nope, that's not. You did. Okay. You just said it.
No, you actually just said that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Sandy likes the modern stuff. So, that's what this is. And, these are the convention scenarios that he's been doing the last handful of years that we've been talking about this book coming along for a while, and it's just been retitled as Peterson's Abominations.
Mm-hmm. And it's done with Mike Mason as well, we should mention.
Yes.
And am I wrong? I don't remember if I heard this right or not. Will these, like, say, The Derelict, which has come out previously, it'll be slightly expanded? Is that right or wrong on this? Or is it going to be the same text? As
I know it's supposed to have new artwork, but I'm not positive on the text itself.
Okay. So possibly more
It'll
artwork.
It'll probably have different formatting at the very least.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like The Derelict. That was fun.
Yeah. That's a really good scenario. So, and Call of Cthulhu just won another award. This is from an awards thing that I've not heard of before. Beasts of War. I'm guessing that's a popular UK-based war games, miniatures, and general gaming site. And for best RPG, they did Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition.
Oh, that's cool.
Very nice. Yep.
Yeah.
It had some good company, too. It was COC, it was Adventures in Middle-Earth, Apocalypse World 2nd Edition, 7th Sea, which the new 7th Sea that's come out just looks fantastic, by the way. And Faith, The Garden in Hell. So it's up there amongst some good competition. Yeah.
Good company. Hmm.
And I love that these guys are doing RPG and gaming awards in Texas. Tuxes, that's terrific. In tuxedos.
Tuxedos.
Oh, tuxes.
Yes, I heard they did Texas.
It in Texas.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, they're UK gaming guys. They did it in Texas and nobody told me?
all my exes live in Tuxes.
They did it in the Midland Odessa Metroplex, huge.
Right, yeah.
Huge community out there.
I know it's just outside of Plano, where there's a massive gamer community.
I don't understand any of these words.
We just listed a bunch of cities in West Texas where no one lives except for the people that live there, and they don't want to stay.
Those are your enemies, right? Those are on the other side. You're in the east.
No. Texans all love Texans.
I see.
But they are in the desert, scraggly part of Texas, and I am in the lush, green, verdant part of Texas.
Although, technically, I think Plano is in a suburb of Dallas, but I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
I meant, I didn't actually mean Plano. What is that ridiculous? Yeah, no, wait a minute. Maybe I did.
Dan, play the Texas bumper, could you?
On this episode of Murph Does Geography.
Up next, I'll field this one. Cubicle 7 and Chaosium, I say a little bit with a heavy heart, have announced that the two are severing a long-standing Call of Cthulhu license agreement at the end of this year. And it's kind of a big deal. So in related news, the work that I did in Cold War Cthulhu called Our American Cousins, it was a chapter, the Foreign Intelligence Theaters chapter. I am now credited and in a PDF, and Woo-hoo! That'll be released early next year.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I've really mixed these news items together because it turns out that it's not clear what's going to happen to that line. So that's a drag. But
it may might wind up finishing out their license with those releases.
Yeah, well, they will. Yeah, exactly. They will definitely, you know, remain in Call of Cthulhu rules. They do have. See, I thought Laundry was a bit different, but it really does seem to be BRP and very Call of Cthulhu like. Right. So they have their own. Kind of like Delta Green, that sort of workaround license, or not a license, but a open license.
Right.
Yeah. Their own engine.
Yeah. So it's possible this will continue. I really like the line of Cold War Cthulhu and World War Cthulhu, just the sort of dual mission thing. But anyway, both parties are at least on the surface saying, you know, it's a mutual agreement, and we still like each other and all that kind of thing. Clearly there's some story in the background. That story could be, the Occam's razor answer, which is that, financially Cubicle 7 is just going to be able to make more money, doing their own Lovecraftian RPG system. So,
and that makes sense. Honestly, we knew that was going to happen whenever the licensings all got rehashed. Anyway, we knew that some
really
people were gonna stay and some people weren't going to stay.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
In related interest, Dean Engelhart, who does the Cthulhu Reborn site and does Cthulhu and Convicts, meticulously tracks Cthulhu RPG material and added up the total page count of Lovecraftian RPG books published by Cubicle 7 since they started back in 2009. It comes to 4,016 pages.
Wow. So,
yeah, that includes World War Cthulhu and Cthulhu Britannica and Laundry. And over that same period, Chaosium produced, okay, so of just supplements, 4,900 pages. So that puts it sort of almost on par with each other. Doesn't include monographs, and it also doesn't include the 7th edition rules. So if you add those back, it's about... The score is like 4,000 to 5,600, but it's pretty interesting how much volume Cubicle 7 has done. I didn't actually realize that till Dean did that math. So the next one down is Modiphius, who did 2,200 pages of Achtung Cthulhu stuff in print recently. So
yeah, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, Cubicle 7 has put out a lot of stuff. I mean, especially when you got to remember all the Cthulhu Britannica stuff that they had gone through, the Kickstarter for Britannica London and all that, that has, you know, the London box set that they had. World War Cthulhu, which is a heavy line for them. The Laundry Files RPG, which didn't, I don't think is as popular as they had hoped, but it is, they put out a lot of books for it one way or the other. So, I mean, there's a lot of content there that used BRP for sure at Cubicle 7.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have a rule set that they can lean on, and I suspect they're not going to try to reinvent the wheel, although they may do a Delta Green kind of thing that's customized for World War Cthulhu. If that's the case, then maybe I can continue to write for them. We'll see. Yeah.
In other news, you're right, not Plano, meant Lubbock, just so that we're clear.
There you go. Lubbock certainly makes much more sense.
Thank you. We can just splice that in and make me sound like I know my own state. I'd appreciate that.
Sure. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Well, we just cut that whole thing out.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
And
yeah, don't
fantasy
count
grounds.
Do not count on it.
Shh.
Okay. Trying to help them sleep well at night.
Fantasy Grounds has recently added Pulp Cthulhu to the list of plugins for that system. So if you use Fantasy Grounds for online roleplay, well, now you can pulp it up.
That's really cool.
Pulp up the volume.
Yeah. Yep. I'm happy to see the Pulp Cthulhu stuff being adopted into these other things, because it just means that more people are likely to try it out.
I agree.
Yeah, that's interesting. I use Fantasy Grounds as a player in a D&D thing. And yeah, it's very, if you've used Roll20, like it has a lot of those same features, shared tabletop. But it handles crunch for me really well, because I like my crunch to be handled by computers is fine. But it, so you drag the player's handbook into, you know, a section, and it just sort of understands how to level up. So leveling up becomes incredibly easy. So I'd be interested to see how that that works for Pulp Cthulhu. Might be a good way to intro the system, because it'll do some of that crunch for me that I don't have to do the math.
And there's just going to be people that, they're just invested in Fantasy Grounds, and they're not going to bother trying something that isn't in there.
Yeah.
So this will open that up to a whole new audience, which is fantastic.
Also, you know, a potential...
It's not like there's that much crunch. Yeah.
Agreed. Also, a potential market for a savvy Pulp Cthulhu creator, because you can create digital maps and stuff, and I don't know what the file... you know, requirements are and everything, but you can actually buy modules for D&D on Fantasy Grounds and have it all the props and everything all set up. So it's possible people who love Fantasy Grounds will begin to develop their own, possibly for pay. You know, there's a little bit of a market there where you can buy a module, or we call them scenarios. Neat. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. so you guys probably have not heard of this, but, game designer David Beatty is creating a weird Western game with the Dungeon Crawl Classics rules, and it is called Dark Trails. And I was invited by David to kind of contribute because it's going to have a very strong Lovecraftian influence to it. So I'm doing a lot of Lovecraftian monster write-ups for Dark Trails, and they're all, you know, they all have the Dungeon Crawl Classic stats, you know. But then David and I started talking, because I've been enjoying this universe that he's created and everything. David just put out a press release that you can see on his Google Plus page, where I'm going to write a scenario for Dark Trails. This is a game that he's been playtesting and writing and kind of building up for quite some time. I honestly don't know how he's going to launch it. I don't know if it's going to be a Kickstarter or what it is. I don't know if it's going to go that route, but it is going to get released at some point soon. But when it does get released, myself, Terry Olson, Daniel Bishop, and I believe David himself are all going to write scenarios that will come out, you know, at the get-go with the main game as well. So there'll be a handful of material that's playable when it comes out. So it's kind of cool. In this universe, there was a calamity in 1860. I think it was like 1860. And it was 7 days of night. And so then after that, you know, magic and spirits and things like that have awoken, and as well as the mythos creatures have awoken. And so it's kind of a cool Western setup for that that universe. It's very interesting. I find it a lot of fun. So
cool.
Look for that, hopefully in maybe early to mid 2018.
Okay. So still in the early stages of it, but yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Very interesting.
And it's at this point that I unfortunately have to leave early, because I've got to go to work. So while the other guys are taking care of the rest of the show's content, I'm on my way to work an overnight shift. Yay!
Hey, this is Ritterton. Just calling and saying appreciated the Campus Crier short episode. It was great listening. Some neat things coming out. Just had to call, though, to make one suggested pronunciation correction. It's Helena, Montana.
Oh, God.
Pretty common dust off here in the West. So,
calling
again,
you out,
great,
Chad.
Presentation and great information. Always appreciate
it. I can't believe
forward
you said
to
it
the
other
whole
way, actually.
Show when it comes here in the near future. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so I pretty sure I said.
How did you say
I'm
it?
Pretty sure I said Helena.
I think
Helena.
So.
Oh, wow.
And
damn, that's horrible.
Well,
thank you, Ritterton.
That's sad, dude. I appreciate it, Ritterton. Thank you very much for the voicemail. We need to call Chad out.
Yeah, it's okay. It's an important, it's an important job.
Too long has this gone unnoticed.
And the thing is, you let him get away with it once, and then he thinks he can just do it all day long.
Well, then he gets the big head and thinks that he knows how to say things.
Well, I just did want to say, in my defense, I'm pretty sure that town was named after Helena Bonham Carter, who plays a lot of crazy women. Kind of came up through the Merchant and Ivory films.
Are you saying that...
I'm not sure.
All the people there are crazy,
well,
or just they're women?
No. Back that up.
I mean, come on. Misogyny is a crime, or at least it should be.
Do you beep when you back that up? Come on now.
Beep, beep, beep.
We got another voicemail via the speak
pipe. No, wait, we're not moving on.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
Actually, I am actually sorry.
Why not?
I want a mea culpa. I just totally chooched that up, so sorry about that.
Yeah, we knew that. Okay. We have a SpeakPipe link message from Lee Williams of Dark Times Fanzine. Let's give that a listen.
Oh.
Or Fanzine.
Nope. It'd be Fanzine, short for magazine.
Yep.
And.
I'm pretty sure it's Fanzine. It can go either way.
No, it isn't. Fanzine.
Fanzine, thank you.
Fine.
Hi, guys. Lee Williams here from the Dark Times Fanzine. Thank you for the support. We've already had several things come in through listeners of the show, so that's excellent for us. We can't do it without submissions. What else? Keep up the good work, and go pods. Thank you very much, guys.
That's nice.
That was very nice.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Williams. That was awesome.
Anytime. We should talk to Lee about getting him on the show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We should.
Yeah.
So you guys could go head to head on how to pronounce fanzine.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. I wonder how they.
At least we won't piss off an entire part of the population.
That's true.
He's referring to Helena, Montana. I understand.
I think it's Helena.
Is it? I thought it might have been Heliana.
Shut your blueberry hole.
I thought it was helium. No, wait, that's the city on Mars. Never mind. Barsoom.
Right. They're so close.
Just shut it.
Settle down now, class. It's time for your next lesson.
So, today's main topic, ripped from the headlines. We're taking news articles we found in the interwebs today, and we're trying to gamify them. At least that's what the prep work said.
We'll see how that goes.
And that's what we'll see how long this lasts. But that's what we're doing. I'm first up, because it's the first and the only one that I have in the show notes in front of me, is John. With sharks in a New York basement. John.
Yes.
What the hell is
this? Huffington Post. So I found an article dating back. It's a little dated. Dating back to September of this year, 2017. And in upstate New York, I believe. You know, anything not New York City, not Manhattan, I think is just called upstate. I have no idea. But they found a guy's house. They investigated this guy's house, and
it's Newark City, right? Isn't it?
I'm scanning through it again.
Oh, the dozen sharks thing is playing. Jesus Christ!
Yes,
I can't stop the dozen sharks page from playing an ad.
Yep.
Ah.
Yep. Yeah, probably should have clicked on that earlier.
Careful on this one. Careful on this one, ladies and gentlemen. There is a Huffington Post ad.
Yes, there's a Huff Post ad. it's not going to hurt you.
Okay.
It's okay. You can close it it's over.
Jesus Christ.
Do I play the video or what's going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, the video is of the local news station talking about it, but the article covers the exact same thing. Basically, they got, you know, complaints or something about this guy's house. They go and check it out. They find 7 3-foot-long sand tiger sharks in his converted basement. His basement was converted into
sandbar
sharks. They're tiger sharks. He converted his basement to being an aquarium. 7 of these things are swimming around. There were 3 dead sharks, 2 leopard sharks, and 1 hammerhead. And they suspect that this guy, you know, the real article is they suspect that this guy was breeding the sharks to sell as exotic pets or something, some sort of thing, something like that. But so I was thinking, oh my God, you know, if you're going to convert your basement, I mean, this would be kind of cool in one of these, you know, investigating a weird home, you know, some sort of strange family. And, you know, this is a nice, easy way to have deep ones, you know, inland, like, because this guy, you know, New York is a coastal state, but this guy wasn't on the coast.
Good point.
So you could have.
So you're saying he was maybe a deep one who hankered for a delicacy that he once loved, or
what if these were offspring? You know, what if these are
deep ones?
Sure. You know, certainly there are children, half breed children that begin human and morph into a fish person, but maybe some of them are born very fishy to start with, you know, and maybe as they grow, they become more human, you know? So that could be kind of interesting to kind of turn that on its ear. And you've got a basement full, you know, this basement is a nursery for your litter of little fish babies.
Yep. I like it. Why would they be landlocked? What might be a, you think they're up to something or?
You know, it could be interesting because I think it would be fun to explore an idea of maybe some kind of underground sea or a underground river and have a new strain of deep ones, you know, because there's so many of these Lovecraftian monsters that are, you know, semi-human ghouls, deep ones, you know, these creatures like this, you could change their biology and have different strains, have a river deep one as opposed to the ocean type that we're accustomed to, you know?
Totally. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was thinking maybe it's the opposite. You know how we always see the deep ones who born human and then evolve into deep ones over time. Maybe these are deep ones that were born deep ones and then regress to being human, but they give birth to fish.
Interesting. Yep. I like it. I was just thinking.
That's all
I got. I was just thinking, as far as reason why, that maybe they could be looking for the Northwest Passage as a spawning situation, or not really spawning, but you know, they need to get back to the Pacific, right? That's the home.
Right.
Maybe Cthulhu himself, maybe it's a pilgrimage, or maybe Cthulhu is calling his children back from the various corners of the earth. And so they could have half human agents, you know, transporting them from tank to tank across, looking for a way so that they can, you know, forge a route from.
Maybe they're New just England. Proselytizing. You know, maybe they're just proselytizing for EOD. and you know, they just have to spread. They've gone forth. They've followed Dagon's command and gone forth and prospered and spread the good word.
It's a deep one safe house.
Yeah.
It's like a deep one bed and breakfast. It's a covert safe house where they know they can go and get. you know, the you know, ocean nutrients that they need, you know, because someone's converted their basement into a super salty saltwater ocean type of environment.
Yeah. So you'd have several of these sites popping up, and investigators could be putting the pieces together.
Right. It's part of a railroad system. You know, it's an underground railroad system for deep ones.
An underground tank system.
Here's something interesting too. During, you know, the deep ones, we forget, but I mean, these guys are immortal and they've been here forever. They were here, you know, prior to man. And I believe they were here, if I can recall some of the timelines that I think I've seen in some of the stories, even during the dinosaur periods, right? 65 million years ago, the center of the United States was an inland sea. So what if, you know, kind of like the hollow earth kind of theories, you know, what if that sea, instead of it evaporating or going away because, you know, lands rose, what if it kind of drained down into a hollow area, you know, under the United States? And so maybe some of these houses with these converted basements are
tapped in.
Yeah, they're tapped in. They're portals to get into this underground sea, this prehistoric underground sea, where again, you would have these just completely cut off from the rest of the world, this, you know, these degenerate strain of deep ones that maybe they don't serve in worship, you know, Dagon and Hydra or Cthulhu, you know, maybe they worship a great old one we haven't heard of, or they're, you know, they're aligned with Azathoth. I mean, it's just, could be anything.
I like it. And you've got the whole Kinyan and Nakai and all of that situation that you could tie that into in the Midwest if you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There you go. That just further expands that universe.
Totally.
So that's what I found. A guy in New York converted his basement to breed sharks. Or so they think. What kind of news do you guys have?
Okay. So I love this site, Live Science, and recommend that people check it out and even subscribe to it. It is giving me lots of joy as it feeds me news of the weird in science news. This thing, I'm blocking the website from knowing my location. So there's a company called Syndaver. Just love the name. Syndaver Labs.
Fantastic.
Right? They are making artificial cadavers for medical purposes, we think. I was just listening to a great podcast called The Butterfly Effect. Have you listened to this, guys?
I have not.
Does that ring a bell?
I have not.
Okay, so John Ronson, who did the David Icke documentary and has written a book about psychopaths, and he's an interesting reporter who does deep dives, and he's doing a podcast where he takes an incident and then sort of looks at the effects in various ways, the butterfly effect of that incident. And the incident he's looking at is how porn became free. But anyway, it ends with live dolls made of silicone, live sex dolls. And so I'm listening to that as this is hitting my feed. Maybe this is just too dark a direction to go in.
Maybe you should describe what it is
first before you go there. All right. Well, it's, as mentioned, they are cadavers used for medical purposes. They are very much lifelike. They are corpses. This is sort of, instead of having to do a cadaver class, these are silicone and various realistic materials, including teeth that I'm looking at right now. So that these doctors can, do diagnosis. And, you know, some of them like don't have skin. Some of them have various working organs for different kinds of practice.
I think the key thing here is also, it's not rubber though. They have some sort of moist and pliable substance, which this thing is made out of. that closely resembles living tissue.
Yeah, with the keyword there being moist.
Yeah, okay.
Moist. Also, and they claim that some of these, well, they bleed when you cut them as well, just to make it that much more
horrible. Yes. Yep, exactly. And some of them have, they present biological functions of people in distress, such as respiration fluctuating and blood pressure changing and heartbeat. And so Sindavar is making these fake people. And I just think, I mean, the most horrific thing I can think of is what if these things become conscious? That's kind of the obvious place that my mind goes. Nothing particularly mythos connected there, but I just think there's a horrific thing to, a horrific angle there. If you perhaps end up getting hired by the poor test subjects who have AI embedded and are not able to communicate except by some obscure means that, you know, messages are getting through, and it's the sort of thing that nobody would believe except a mythos investigator.
The first thing that came to my mind was a modern version of Horror on the Orient Express, and you're getting the Sedefkar simulacrum mixed with this thing.
Oh, right, sure.
Oh man.
I think that this is this is obviously a device created by a sympathetic Mego in order to reconnect brains to bodies. But he doesn't have any bodies. So he's just recreated these almost lifelike bodies, and he just implants brains.
Do you have a necrophiliac cousin? Want to keep him out of jail? Let him have this.
Yeah, that is where my mind went that I was saying was too dark to go to. But Murphman, that idea of it, this being an experimental Mego brain jar, what would be awesome is if, you know, it's just like this doll. It doesn't have tissue that can move. It's just in this thing while these doctors experiment on it. And so,
And prod it. Yeah. Just as a test. Yeah,
Mego are like, well. Yeah.
So some poor bastard is going crazy in there because they don't really care. I mean, it's like, who cares? It's a human.
Right, exactly. Brain.
Gives a damn.
And what they want to see is what happens when human, like, you know, med students are given this thing that's lifelike, and they're trying to understand empathy and, you know, the feelings of humans when they do the things that Mego do to humans. And so they're just kind of watching.
What if this was a puzzle box designed by the Mego to try and recruit human agents? And so, you create this, artificial cadaver, but the human that's able to turn it on and activate the actual heartbeat or activate the actual brain and start talking to it because they've, embedded, a captured brain in it, that person is intelligent enough to be swayed and conquered to become part of their agency, and then those doctors that fail the class do so and save their own lives without knowing it.
Nice. Well, for $100,000, you could have your own, possibly.
How much is the sex doll?
So they're
not. Well, I don't know, man. They're pretty expensive. The lifelike dolls. People are talking about being about a mortgage.
I defer to you on this since you obviously have priced them out.
I just listened to John Ronson's podcast, Butterfly Effect.
That's funny.
The Mythbusters are actually have one and they're using it.
They have a sex doll
the cadaver.
I'm really glad you asked for clarification so we don't get a lot of letters about this. Yes, the cadaver. Not the sex doll. No, it's...
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them in either way, defamation. To be completely honest.
No. So you gotta be careful.
It's not defamation.
Also, I think it's slander.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that... It's not slander. It's satire for laughing about
it. It's funny. If the judge deems that it's funny.
And you're laughing. Therefore, someone found it funny. Satire rules apply. Sweet. We're covered. And to be completely honest, I didn't mean that they would be using it in a sexual manner. If you told me that the Mythbusters bought a sex doll, I'd be like, okay, they just got a new dummy.
Frankly, you know what I mean? Well, like, and frankly, I mean, you know, they could. It's a family show, but they could certainly use a sex doll for some myth, like, you know, whatever, the myth it.
All yes, those that the involve sex doll dolls. Myth.
Man, would that episode do well. It is. It is slander, by the way.
They save it for November sweeps. That's all.
Yeah. That's what she said. I don't know. Okay. Murph, man, you got...
Yeah, so I have to credit Great Cthulhu, or Matt Puccio, a good friend of the show, for this news item. He inadvertently supplied me with it this morning. I'm going to read you the headline. Rifle-wielding man warning of lizard people detained after blocking Pacific Avenue, deputies say.
Oh, my God.
Right?
yeah, this is so awesome. I'm just going to read it, because I don't think we have to mythos this up almost any, really. An Eatonville man waving around an AK-47 and screaming about the arrival of lizard people was detained after stopping traffic on Pacific Avenue in Parkland on Saturday evening, according to the Pierce County Sheriff's Department. The 54-year-old, who deputies said was intoxicated, was taken to an area hospital for a 14-day mental health evaluation, a Thursday afternoon news release said. According to the release, about 8 p.m. Saturday, a bystander called 911 to say there was an SUV parked in the middle of the intersection of Pacific Avenue South and 108th Street South. Washington State Patrol troopers responded to the scene to find a man had exited his SUV and was waving around the AK-47 as well as a .357 revolver. Sheriff's deputies arrived and met with the troopers before approaching the man with seven marked law enforcement vehicles. Law enforcement ordered the man who had put away his firearms to get on the ground. The man laid on the ground and started screaming about sending in the news in regards to the lizard people. A deputy attempted to handcuff the man, but he resisted arrest and continued to scream. The deputy and a trooper both used their tasers on the man, who then let them handcuff him. The man told the deputy he had snorted methamphetamine to lose weight and that he was taking a morphine prescription. Quote, "The meth doesn't make me crazy, man," he said. "The lizard people are real." Yeah. The man said President Donald Trump had called his home and warned him that the lizard people were coming and that his family was already held hostage by the, quote, alpha dragon. Law enforcement had him transported to a hospital for treatment. The deputy searched the man's vehicle and found the handgun, the rifle, 170 rounds of ammunition for it loaded into six magazines, and a baseball bat. The man made the scene to attract the media so, quote, "his story could be documented for history," end quote. Now it has been. That was a news article from by Kenny Ocker from the News Tribune up in Washington State. But, yeah, I mean, there's a guy, he stops traffic, he's waving around an assault rifle and a pistol, armed to the teeth, and he's screaming that the lizard people are real, and that Donald Trump has called his house that morning to tell him that the lizard men have taken his family.
Every scenario that includes serpent people from now on needs to have an alpha dragon in that group with separate stats, right?
Yes. Yeah, boss lizard.
This boss lizard. This is the Koopa. someone mentioned this morning that this is just an investigator, a Delta Green investigator who went insane on the previous night and is just dealing with the fallout from that, which is just as legitimate, I guess. But it's just so crazy, man. I'm sure the methamphetamines, the morphine, had nothing to do with the man's obvious mental illness. making him think that lizard men were after
him. My problem with this story is I don't have anything to add. It's just so...
Where do you go from here,
really?
I will say,
if anybody out there wants to use this for their modern game, they should just clip Murph reading this as a news story and use it as a radio cut.
Yes.
It's pretty much right on. I mean, it just sounds like local news.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a hook. Yeah, I mean, it's a hook from hell. Can you imagine this as your hook? I mean, this is, you can't write this shit. I mean, if I wrote this right now and submitted it, somebody would have rejected it and said, look, man,
that's just not believable.
Some things are just too far out. This is just too much, dude. Too much. Dial it back a little bit. But no, the News Tribune has done it for us.
That is honestly awesome.
Where do we take this? I like this being an investigator. You don't really write that, but
yeah, I think if it is, I like the idea of it being an investigator, and he has gone insane, and then the players are the doctors and orderlies or whatever at the mental health facility that they've transported him to, where he continually tries to escape. And eventually, somebody realizes that maybe he's not entirely insane. You know what I mean? And maybe that's right. part of the hook to get you into it.
The officer that arrested him, is also a serpent person, arranges for him to be sent to a particular psychiatric ward to be observed, run by serpent people. I mean, just
nice.
You know, they're everywhere. All the serpent people are everywhere. And this guy, because of something that has happened to him and he snapped, he has special vision where he can just see right through their disguises. You know, I mean, it's like he's wearing the They Live glasses all the time.
Here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. here's another one. This is actually the beginning of the scenario where this plays out as a news item, right? But then the whole scenario is a flashback, and it leads up to one of the players actually doing this at the end of the
session. Oh, that is so good. That is so good. I like that.
So we just take everything from it. We have the president calling the man to warn him that his family has been kidnapped
just have
by
that
serpent
happen
people.
In game. Yeah.
You know, and I bet
just have that happen in game and then have him tool up and get ready to go at it. And then he's supposed to have the hostage exchange is supposed to go down there in the middle of the intersection. And lo and behold, they set him up and now he's in a crazy
bit. Send the right tweet. President Cheeto will do it for you for real.
Did I mention at the top of this?
I know I failed.
Something just distracted me because I clicked on something on that page. I hate that, man.
Squirrel.
I wish news. Well, I just wish like news sites wouldn't have automatic video. Anyway.
Dropping that subject. Yeah, you caught the AP thing at the bottom.
Yeah,
the page.
It was following. You know, it was, what do you call that?
Yeah.
Oh, it frickin' did it again.
Whatever that is.
Don't scroll down.
Don't careful on this one, too. Yeah, don't scroll all the way down or you'll get a free video.
I like that thing. I like getting inside the delusion and just kind of making it all real. Also, it makes me think of Timothy McVeigh and MK Ultra or whatever it was that he was a part of at Harvard, the experiment that in which he was continually bullied. That perhaps this guy, you know, was like you said, he has a special ability because he went through an MK Ultra program with the CIA and is kind of like a Manchurian candidate ready to snap when he has meth.
Or you know, maybe he learned a new spell and this guy is able to teach other investigators this spell, but the side effect is because you can see everything and he's seeing all these serpent people, it's information overload and his fragile brain can't handle it. But
right.
Kind of a cool spell.
This also reminds me of another news item I read today. Apparently, let me get the link up real quick, just so that I don't misquote this. Here we go. This is from inverse.com. It's a science journal website. Apparently, a scientist has scientifically determined a playlist for tripping on mushrooms.
I saw that article. I didn't read it, but I think I saw that headline.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. It's not what you would think it is, but maybe this is just a whole different, maybe this guy is just on some really good hallucinogens and he's just listened too closely to this, this brand new playlist that came out today, which is full of stuff you wouldn't imagine it is. It's got stuff like Vivaldi and chamber choirs and Brahms.
No mamas and papas?
No. Apparently it said it's not so much the items in the list that are as important as the order of the items in the list. Whatever. Hey, obviously this guy added his own items to the list and ended up with a really bad trip.
Huh. You know what I
Reefer madness.
That reminds me of another news item I saw recently about the VR acid trip, the virtual reality used to simulate acid trips, but without taking the drugs. And there's one called the Sound Self. That's basically a stream of images that you can go into a VR world. And there's one that uses that, what's it called, that where the faces, the algorithm that work at the computer and sees faces everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? Magic Eye?
Yeah.
Is it Magic Eye? Yeah, where you can put a VR helmet on and be transported into a world and where everything does that, where everything has like faces and dog faces and, you know, are all popping out. It's not Magic Eye. That's the 3D thing. What's it called? I should be responsibly putting these links into the show notes.
I will.
Yeah, we should.
I will not be introducing new links.
I'll get it.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
It has that
like trippy effect where you see tiny little faces or eyes and stuff swirling, and it's almost like a fractal pattern kind of thing where you see all those tiny little images repeated over and over and over again. But then when you kind of step back, they make a different image, you know, a larger image.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Although not always. Sometimes it's just weird. It's a weird shape because of the fractal pattern. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Those are weird.
But anyway,
I just assume the experience of getting high is exactly like the two cartoon characters flying the spaceship in Heavy Metal.
Oh, wow, right, man.
You know, and I say go That's for exactly it, man. Like-
That's what watching stoned people is like. That's not it's not what it's like from the inside.
Well, the cool thing about now is
we can just end it. Although we didn't have a great ending. So yeah, we were just thinking that you know, a lot of people go through their news feeds and they find inspiration. If you follow some of the Delta Green guys or you look on social media, some of the Cthulhu people. Just looking for weird news and inspiration there. And so there's just a couple of ideas. And if you have ideas, feel free to send them in to the show via the website, the forums, or SpeakPipe, or tell us about a link that's interesting.
Could not agree more.
We want to hear from our listeners. We have a lot of different ways for you to reach out to us.
For the complete list, check out our show notes where you'll find our email address, which is now mup.feedback@gmail.com, as well as the phone number, SpeakPipe link, and our forums.
Send us your questions, feedback, and topic ideas, or join a discussion. Record a liner. Tell us who you are and give us a hearty go pods for our home team, the Fightin' Cephalopods.
Find all the links you need to keep in touch at mu-podcast.com/136.
Thanks for joining us for another episode. Class is dismissed.
The Call of Cthulhu role-playing game is property of Chaosium, Inc. The written works of H.P. Lovecraft are held in the United States public domain. All other works mentioned in this podcast are the property of their respective owners. Original content of this show is copyright of the Miskatonic University Podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license.
And I'm Keeper Murph. Let's kick this off.
Yeah.
This was
intentional. I just want to let everyone know that writing difficult copy was intentional for Murph. Go.
Verbal bear trap.
I am ashamed.
You are a machine?
Yeah.
You are not a machine. Machines don't make that many mistakes.
I think he said he's ashamed.
No, he should be.
He should be.
Hey, I said it the French way. I am ashamed.
Rifle-wielding man warning of lizard people detained after blocking Pacific Avenue, deputies say. An Eatonville man waving around an AK-47 and screaming about the arrival of lizard people was detained after stopping traffic on Pacific Avenue in Parkland on Saturday evening, according to the Pierce County Sheriff's Department. The 54-year-old, who deputies said was intoxicated, was taken to an area hospital for a 14-day mental health evaluation, a Thursday afternoon news release said. According to the release, about 8 p.m. Saturday, a bystander called 911 to say there was an SUV parked in the middle of the intersection of Pacific Avenue South and 108th Street South. Washington State Patrol troopers responded to the scene to find a man had exited his SUV and was waving around the AK-47 as well as a .357 revolver. Sheriff's deputies arrived and met with the troopers before approaching the man with 7 marked law enforcement vehicles. Law enforcement ordered the man who had put away his firearms to get on the ground. The man laid on the ground and started screaming about sending in the news in regards to the lizard people. A deputy attempted to handcuff the man, but he resisted arrest and continued to scream. The deputy and a trooper both used their tasers on the man, who then let them handcuff him. The man told the deputy he had snorted methamphetamine to lose weight and that he was taking a morphine prescription. Quote, "The meth doesn't make me crazy, man," he said. "The lizard people are real." The man said President Donald Trump had called his home and warned him that the lizard people were coming and that his family was already held hostage by the, quote, alpha dragon. Law enforcement had him transported to a hospital for treatment. The deputy searched the man's vehicle and found the handgun, the rifle, 170 rounds of ammunition for it loaded into 6 magazines, and a baseball bat. The man made the scene to attract the media so, quote, "his story could be documented for history," end quote.